Clock says 28 minutes past the hour. Welcome back to Ring Talk Live Worldwide from the City by the Bay, San Francisco, California. My name is Pedro Fernandez. On the line from the East Coast, the great Dr. Netan Sethi. Dr. Sethi, how are you, sir?
I'm good, Pedro. I hope you and your fans are all good, too.
Oh, I don't know if they're my fans or my listeners. Anyway, do we have? Let's just do that disclaimer.
Yeah, so I just wanted to disclaim that I work as the chief medical officer for the New York State Athletic Commission, and the views I'm going to express in your show are my own. They don't represent the views of the New York State Athletic Commission. Thank you.
Okay. Now, things are happening in the world of professional football. In the recent release of that NFL study where 110 of 111 retired football players who were autopsied are showing show significant brain damage and CTE. Wow. That's not 100%, but that's better than 99%, 110 of 111.
That's true. And, you know, this article, I'll urge your listeners, if they really want to, you know, insight into this topic, to actually try to read the actual article. Obviously, it's a medical article. It was published in the Journal of, it's called JAMA Journal, Journal of Association of Medicine, American Medical Association. So, you know, that article and the way that it was portrayed in the media obviously kind of raised all these concerns that CTE is very, very common in football players. And there have been two sides. There are people who have said, well, you know, the media has just hyped this up a lot, kind of like a scare tactic, and, you know, we should, like, kind of step back a little bit and try to look at the study objectively. So if you really look at the study objectively, you have to understand that this was a sample which was of professional football players who probably were exhibiting some signs and symptoms concerning for this disease. And with your permission, I'd like to talk about this disease a little bit.
Go ahead,
so
sir.
Obviously, that sample, the incidence of CTE was high. So what exactly is CTE? So the word CTE stands for chronic traumatic encephalopathy. Each word has a meaning. Chronic means it's chronic, occurs over a period of time. Traumatic means it occurs because of trauma. And think about encephalopathy as meaning, or want a better word, a disease of the brain. So these are, and this diagnosis is made not in a living person. This diagnosis is made after the person has died. And when you look at the brain, you do what is called as pathology of the brain, make sections and look under the microscope, you find that this deposition of this abnormal protein in various parts of the brain, and this disease presents more like at a sort of a young age, maybe in the late 40s, these people with this disease have, you know, neurocognitive symptoms, attention being off, concentration is off, problems in memory, changes in mood and behavior, you know, depression, anxiety. So this, by the way, this disease, CTE, is not new. It has been there for many, many years. It's just that now, with the media, this thing, it's more sort of awareness of the disease. So the study certainly raises concern, no doubt about that. The study certainly raises concern about CTE and how common is it actually in football players. That's been done. I would like to say, use a word of caution here. The sample was a very specific sample. And really, if you look at the broader sort of population of athletes or football players, exactly how common is CTE in those players, we really don't know. So I would, as everybody talks about it, I would like to use just a little bit of restraint and say that, you know, we don't have all the answers. And certainly this, you know, sensationalizing this topic is not helpful.
Okay, I understand that, but 110 of 111, those autopsies, that doesn't look good. I mean, if you studied 110 of 111 smokers and they all had a chronic lung disease, you'd say, guess what? They shouldn't be smoking.
Guaranteed, point taken and point well made. And all I'm saying is that, like I tried to explain, the sample was a highly selected sample in which probably the likelihood of disease was already common.
Mm-hmm.
And so really, when you look at the broader population, what is the implication of people who are playing amateur football at amateur level, or even professional football? How common is disease actually in these athletes? We still don't know. And all I'm trying to say is that science should take precedence, and we should follow where the scientific data is taking us without sensationalizing this in the media. I'm not trying to downplay the disease. All I'm saying is, you know, concerns are raised, and we need further studies looking at the incidence of this disease, not just in football players, but also in boxing.
Interesting. Continue, Doc. I mean, boxing, of course, you and I are, boxing is our we love it. You and I both love it, and yet we both sit here and we're aghast sometimes at its results.
Yeah, so I just want to, for the boxing public, the, you know, your listeners who are passionate about boxing, this disease, CTE, is just not reported in football players. Very early in boxing, a disease very similar to CTE was reported. In fact, in 1928, the first studies came out about a disease called dementia pugilistica, also sometimes known as punch drunk syndrome. Mm-hmm. So you can imagine 1928 in boxers, the concern was raised that some boxers who are getting hit in the head repeatedly through their over years, at a young age, these boxers were developing problems in attention, concentration, memory, mood and behavioral changes. If you look at the previous studies done from that time, some of these boxers were in institutions. And, you know, there's a lot of terms used. Some of the older listeners will know terms like slug nutty. When, you know, if you get slugged on the head, you become nutty. And so this disease is also a cause for concern in boxers. And what I really like to tell the listeners, people who are boxing fans, professional boxers, amateur boxers, is that, you know, while we all worry about acute neurological injuries in boxing, what happens to a boxer suddenly has a bleed in the brain during a fight, we worry about that. We must also remember that there are certain chronic neurological injuries which occur because of boxing. You know, years of boxing can cause some brain problems, brain damage. And one of these diseases is something like CTE, which in boxers has been referred to as dementia pugilistica. But the problem is, how do we prognosticate our boxers, our athletes? How do we tell them, listen, no more. That's it. You got to hang up your gloves.
Doc,
you know, that's what we don't know yet.
Doc, I wish you the best. What's your blog, Doc? Before I let you go, give us that blog of yours.
My blog is braindiseases.wordpress.com.
The great Dr. Netan Sethi. Doc, we'll talk soon.
Thank you. Take care. Bye-bye.
Me and the Doc are going to Cuba, baby. That's right, Cuba. We're leaving on October the 23rd out of Miami, Florida, on the 30th Annual World Boxing Organization Convention Cruise. Call it what you want. We're having a party, baby. We're leaving October 23rd out of Miami, Florida. I wish you were there. Just eat it up, because Pedro's going to be kicking ass all over the Caribbean. You are tuned to Ring Talk Live Worldwide.
Well, can I tell you something?
Huh?
I play high school football.
Mm-hmm.
Football is a tough sport. Compared to boxing, it's much tougher than boxing. I mean, I enjoyed it while I was playing it, but it's a tough, tough sport. I thank God that I did play when I started boxing. When I got tired from working hard, I thought about football days, I kept it on going.